All right, here we are, and we have Shane Tyler Milson on again. So thanks for being on the show again. I kind of got just an intuitive download, we'll call it, to have you back on. I was walking in the desert, and some mushrooms were coming up, and I couldn't tell you what kind they are, but even here in the extremely hot. It's like 106 right now outside. The desert gets really hot. The desert floor gets extraordinarily hot and such. But even here in the desert, mushrooms are just so badass that once that moment is right, they're like, the desert can burst with mushrooms.
Absolutely.
And I was just thinking, man, these guys are really badass. And it kind of got some. I had a couple, you know, insights from being out there in the desert, which tends to happen. And thanks for being back on the show. You know, I haven't talked for a couple of years, and how are you doing and what's been evolving? I mean, how is Black Magic Alchemy, rocking the last couple of years?
Well, Craig, thanks for having me. I appreciate you coming back. It's nice to do this for a second time and also have like the really crisp setup here for both of us. Like, great. Over the past few years, there's been definitely lots of new products I've created. So we've worked on a reishi tincture. I don't know if we had that at the time a couple of years ago, or maybe we had just launched it, but we really finalized that procedure of making it. And the process is always alchemical and it's always transforming in that. So that way, you know, product people may have gotten it from us a couple of years ago is truly the same flavor, the same experience, only elevated. We've learned to tweak it. We've learned to extract it better. We've learned other processes alchemically, like extracting in Myron violet glass, so it only lets in the violet light from the sun, which is the most energizing high frequency light for, spectrum. So over the years, we keep innovating and looking to launch new products. So we've got this new reishi tincture. We've also got a powder product. It's got lion's mane in it. And several other nootropic herbs, which I was obsessed with trying to create because I love drinking my coffee in the morning.
Yeah,
I am definitely a caffeine fanatic, but I realized drinking coffee in an empty stomach is definitely very damaging for the digestive enzymes. It's very acidic and it hits very hard. You probably felt that. I don't know if you drink coffee yourself.
Oh, yeah. But,
okay. So do you drink coffee on an empty stomach in the morning?
No, I usually actually, you know, I put a little bit of, collagen and grass-fed butter and stuff in there.
Okay.
And that actually helps to kind of get rid of that abrasiveness a little
bit. That's right. It blunts that abrasive effect.
But empty stomach, that's a little bit rough. Yeah.
And a lot of people like to do that with fasting. They'll do the fasting method, but they'll drink coffee. So what I decided to do was innovate a process where people could have lion's mane, mushroom, and all the nootropic herbs, all the best benefits that you would get from coffee without the downside of the acidity. So we paired in there things like Sacha Inchi, which is one of the most protein-dense nuts or seeds available in the world.
Oh, yeah.
It's like 50% digestible protein per gram. So it's mainly comprised of protein, plus it's got all 9 essential amino acids in it. So we have Sacha Inchi in there. We have Mucuna, which creates a dopamine response in the brain. We have other herbs like tocotrien, also vitamin E. So I decided with any product I want to make, I really want to make something that first and foremost, I really been wanting for years myself. And then I go about doing it. And that can sometimes take just a year of formulation because I don't want to release something unless I'm so proud of it, something that I would take and do take every day. So finally, we got this new cosmic creamer out with the lion's mane, and it's for reducing the acidity, increasing the best benefits of coffee, and giving you this massive burst of energy. Some people have even said it tastes like, or it hits like enlightened Adderall. That's kind of our slogan for it. So I've been busy, man. I've been out mushroom foraging all the time. Just got back from 4 days up north mushroom foraging, and we were finding the most beautiful large scale reishis I've ever seen out there, and found some culinary mushrooms. So I've been getting back into mushroom hunting more and more because with being in California, not as prevalent as being in Canada or other parts of the world with forests, I haven't had as much time to be out there mushroom foraging. And frankly, that's what I got into it for. When I got into this eight years ago, it was so I could be in connection with nature and go out and forage and bring the medicine back to the people. And I felt like I started becoming disconnected from that by just being in Los Angeles or California or the big major cities. I wasn't getting that chance to be back out in the forest. So now I'm back out there. I'm foraging most of the product that we're actually putting into the elixirs, into the tinctures, and into the powders. So I'm having a great time with it, man. I'm about to hit Europe for 3-4 months, and I'll be foraging in the Highlands in Scotland. Down in Ireland, I'm going to be going foraging in Italy, where my ancestors are from. So it's going to be a lot more mushroom foraging and a lot more content coming out with that.
Oh, wow. So, wow, through a couple months in Europe. Wow. Is that like the great mushroom hunting tour, or is that just part of the trip?
Well, you know what? For me, it's actually, I love ancient architecture, and I like the kind of secret, unknown, hidden history elements to it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like Cathars, like learning about that culture and like what happened there and the Holy Grail and the transportation of it and what it meant. So I want to go see that world. I want to go see the hidden history aspect. So I'm traveling for partially that purpose, and mushroom hunting seems to come with me wherever I end up going. So the great thing is, like you said, in the desert, you're going to find them. Not as prevalently as in the forest, but you will find them. And actually, I wanted to say something to what you made that point of, because people would think mushrooms in a desert. What's wild is, and truly wild is the right word for it, mushrooms grow in every ecosystem on Earth, including Antarctica. It's found under the ice, including at the bottom of the ocean. There are species of mushrooms that are aquatic.
Really?
Water.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Even spores in space. So they find mushroom spores in space. So whatever habitat you could think of, it's going to have mushrooms in it. Maybe not as much as like a redwood forest that up in Washington State, but there's going to be mushrooms there. So that's, I always thought that was really cool to think they're that prevalent. They can survive in every ecosystem. Kind of wild.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the desert here, this is like the high Sonoran desert, and you know, it'll kill a person in 2 hours, but mushrooms, no, they don't care. They explode. It's just a matter of the right moment, the right moisture, the right everything. When the moment's right, they bam, they show up, and it's really remarkable. You mentioned spores in space. Well, I mean, that's part of our history, you know, of course, right? This is pretty ancient history, of course. But I mean, the Earth originally was just a rock, you know, until the little mycelium munchers started to make soil.
That's right. The great recyclers of nature.
Yeah.
They're the turnover process. They're our recycling plant. They're our garbage men. So, you know, they're the ones that go and take those trees and turn it into our nutrient dense soil. Like we, just like with bees, if you don't have bees, you can't pollinate the flowers and the fruits and the vegetables. And that starts to kill off life on Earth. The same process is mushrooms are so intricately involved in the ecosystem. And I've always found that the most healthy forests I've been in, the most beautiful forests I've been in, always rich with varieties of mushroom species. You'll see them rotting the logs, and you'll see them growing on living trees. It's just everywhere. And it's unbelievable, truly, what these things are. And I've always thought of it like this, Craig. When you look at a mushroom digesting a tree and the cellulose of the bark, right, a saprophytic mushroom, which starts to break down the cellulose and use it as its nutrients form, I've always perceived it as this. If you see a big, gigantic hemlock tree out in the forest, right?
Yeah.
These massive hemlock trees, they're like redwoods, but up in Canada. These hemlocks will have these reishi mushrooms coming out of it, just like the one I mentioned a little earlier. And the mushroom is capturing the life force energy as it's leaving from the tree and dying. It's being captured by the mushroom on its way out. And I like to think of that as though when someone gets to the end of their life and all the wisdom they've accumulated, and they're laying in their deathbed, and they're able to partake and parlay some of that deep wisdom they've gathered throughout their life. To me, that is what mushrooms are capturing. All the wisdom that tree has fostered, all the nutrients that tree has fostered, that mushroom is capturing as that tree's spirit moves on. And I've always thought that's such a cool process. And what's really intrigued me about saprophytic tree-grown mushrooms like shaga, reishi, and lion's mane, and so forth.
Wow. So that is really an incredible way to put it. I had never thought of that. So shaga, reishi especially, shaga and reishi, they're capturing the tree's wisdom as it is, its life's wisdom as it is, changing, you know, as it's, Yeah, at the end of its life. I wasn't quite sure how to put that, but yeah. So the tree, so the tree is like, all right, you know, I've been here for a long time. I have all this wisdom. Mm-hmm. And then nature in its wisdom goes, okay, well, we're going to actually now capture that wisdom as you decline and become soil once again.
That's
and
right.
So, yeah. And then you start realizing like, so that wisdom is there for us.
That's right.
You know, and then, wow. So that actually really captures a lot of, you know, thought and makes things very, very magical when you realize, okay, wow, I'm going to go to the forest. And the picture in the background, if you can see it, that's actually one of my favorite places in the Pacific Northwest forest right there. That's up in Tagger Mountain. Great, wow. Great mushroom. Yeah. Great, great mushroom hunting there. And also the Pacific Northwest, of course,
right.
You know?
Yeah.
But I'd never really thought of the wisdom of the forest then becomes, you know, wow. And then
captured in these beautiful new life forms.
Yeah. And I know it's an obvious question, but you're the one to ask it because you're going to have answers that aren't so obvious. Like how do we benefit from ingesting nature's wisdom?
Mm.
Wow. There you go. That's a wild question.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because you know, there's two ways to answer that. I would say like, for one, of course the brain goes to like the technical way of like extracting it, and you can do different alchemical processes, like boiling it in hot water, extracting it with alcohol. So the fat soluble and hot and water soluble elements are pulled, like the polysaccharides, triterpenes, all the things that boost your immune system, improve your liver, cleanse your skin, all those nutrients. Yes, there's the technical process, but how do we really ingest that wisdom that nature has captured? And I think part of that, and what I try to always embellish with my content or with talking about black magic or any seminars or anything, is to encourage people to not only just consume them, but also be a participant in the process of it by going out into the forest, like yes. The trail you have behind you in this picture. Going out to these places and being there with it, because while we, for instance, with Black Magic could make these amazing products and you can get that, I just think there's something so special about when you finally take that moment to go out and look in your own forest, in your own backyard, and go out and see these and learn to forage them, which there's so many resources now to learn that, but between mycological societies, YouTube, books, there's so much content out there to be able to understand and learn this, and you should learn it that way. And once you know that, that's a way to consume it in a level that's beyond just consumption. It's a way to actually become one with it. And I say that because when you're out in the forest, you can feel the mind wants, at least I notice this, mind always wants to get really active. It's like all this stuff bubbles up, and then all of a sudden, it's like this meditative movement that happens when you're in the woods, where you start, especially if you go off trail too, and you're looking, you know, you're going to find some shaga off the trail, you're walking, and all of a sudden there's all this, you know, debris below you, foliage, and you're stepping over logs, and you don't want to step here, and there's a big bush there. Your mind starts to leave, and your intuitive instinctual energy starts to kick in, and you start moving with nature. Like I was, where we were up north, we were 3-4 hours hike in to find a beautiful river my grandfather had gone to 20 years earlier. And we got a little lost, but that process of getting there, we're going through these most amazing mossy Lord of the Rings environments with the moss. It's like that thick. It's like a couple feet thick. You could lay on it like a Tempur-Pedic mattress, and you're walking through, and there's different parts where you got to be careful because there's stumps, and then underneath it, there's just hollow points where you just drop your legs through, right? So you start becoming aware as you're walking, and you start looking around, and then you're looking up on the trees and seeing some mushrooms, and you see some on the ground, then you hear an animal. That process, to me, that is consuming it in a different way. It's taking in so much of this part of you that we've left behind when we went to the modern society. So to me, that I think is the best way to really take mushrooms. It's not just in products like tinctures or powders or tea. Go out and look for them yourself. And even if you don't pick them, just the process of going out and learning to identify mushrooms, because it's always hyped up about the idea like you got to go pick them and got to know which ones are safe. Sometimes you don't need to do that. There's a lot of mushrooms I come across, Craig, I don't touch them because they're not really an edible mushroom. They're not necessarily inedible. They're just not maybe the best. They're not my favorite mushroom to forage, or they're poisonous. Then I'm not picking them, but I'm just there to enjoy it and get up close, and you take that really nice close-up capture of it, and you're there with it. That alone is medicinal. That alone is special. And I think that's something I want to always try to promote people to do, not just know how to extract mushrooms, not just know what products to buy that have the good, right stuff in it, extracted the right way, but going out into nature and going to find it. I think that provides something so magical for people.
Oh, it absolutely does. Yeah. And because the wisdom of nature is there, the energy of nature is there. And I mean, I'm sure some of the people listening spend plenty of time in nature, but I think everybody wants more. Everyone can use more. I think I'm sure there's people listening who don't spend any time in nature. You know, it really depends, but we can all use more. And something about the, that I've heard you reference before is, when it comes to ingesting the wisdom, right? Transmuting the wisdom. I like that. Transmuting the wisdom it's building a war chest. You know, it's building, like, it's a strange word for it, but I'm going to use it. It fits. Building this war chest. It's building this like immunity chest. It's building this like wisdom chest. It's building something very powerful within us, because oftentimes we're used to like instant gratification. We want to take something and then bam, you know, and of course, definitely you can get those, that immediate, you know, feeling from some mushrooms and such, but also, one of the things that you've talked about, if you could expand on that some here, is just that this is a ongoing relationship and process that it's like, you, maybe you get immediate gains, but really it's these gains over time that is really, it's like you're becoming that primal you in the forest, you know, but it just takes time. Yeah.
Okay. So there's first off the war chest analogy. I'd like to see it. I know, because it is a strange thing to think of immediately when you think of war chest. Like, why couldn't it just be like a storage room with lots of? Right. So the war chest idea comes down to the thought, a process of just the different, let's say, invaders of things that want to get in. It's like parasites.
Oh yeah.
Or bacteria, or chemicals, or poisons, just in our environment. Not even necessarily man-made, just even chemicals you can find that you could breathe in, or toxins, all these different things that can exist that can harm us. The war chest idea is to build an arsenal of different weaponry for your immune system to use to fight back. And some of that is looked at like this. Some of it's to support your non-local immune system, which, and I say non-local because it's not like your immune system's up here in your heart. It's not in your liver. It's all throughout your body. The white blood cells flow all through your body to defend you, to protect you by taking these invaders out of the body safely. But our liver plays a big process in that, in removing toxicity. Our lungs are clearing the air we breathe in, like microfiltration, and clearing out the pathogens we don't want to absorb, and we send it back out. All of these different body parts, right, are needing their own unique weapon arsenals to be able to fight back against the things that are invading us. So that's what I always like to think of with it. And mushrooms provide the most diverse array of those weaponry to build in the war chest. And the reason is because these mushrooms are doing what we talked about with absorbing the nutrients from the tree, absorbing the nutrients from the soil. It's a very symbiotic relationship that mushrooms have with their mycelial network, exchanging nutrients with trees and plants. So you're getting so many different aspects here. You're getting the mineralization of the soil. You're getting things like washaga that grows off the birch bark. Birch bark is very high in betulinic acid. Betulinic acid is one of the best, most effective tumor killers known of any possible option you could take out there. So when you have the birch bark, it's being absorbed into the mushroom. You have that benefit. So now that's killing off tumors. Then you have the high antioxidant, the high ARAC value that shaga has with the diversity of antioxidants. So now you're being able to fight off free radicals in the body. And then also, to go on shaga a little deeper, then you have magnesium, zinc. You're having all these minerals that are rebuilding the body and creating strength, like the zinc for that pounce, that energy in your body, the magnesium to help relax the body. So when I say it builds a war chest, the war chest isn't just a chest you open with thousands of knives. It's like, picture, it's like there's bazookas in there, and there's machine guns, and there's shields, and there's all this diversity. And that's what I think is so special about mushrooms. They're so well-rounded for so many different aspects of what we need in our body. They're so similar to us in that way, that they have that diversity. So that's the idea of building the war chest. But on the positive, maybe more spiritual side of it, the war chest could be the wisdom we talked about, absorbing the data of different trees, because different trees create not only just on the scientific side, right? Where you look at certain trees create certain resins and certain enzymes and certain chemicals and cofactors. Yes, that's there. But there's also, you could say, what's the wisdom of a birch tree versus the wisdom of a hemlock tree or a pine or a redwood? Or a palm tree or a cactus. All of these different trees or plants or fruits or berries, all these things contain wisdom, and mushrooms interact with all of them. And that's the really unique thing, is you're pulling the energy and wisdom from all these different places, and it's concentrated in these beautiful foods for our immune system, beautiful medicines for our whole body and our mind and our spirit. So that's the overarching war chest concept there, right? Is how much it adds to your life by foraging them and taking them.
Oh yeah. And something I've noticed is, of course you get them through, this happens through many, many practices, but one thing about building that war chest and then that absorbing the wisdom, atoning with the wisdom of nature, of the trees, is I get more downloads. And this is a term that I think is, I'm sure you're familiar with it.
Oh yeah.
And we can define it, just everybody, we're all on the same page.
Yeah,
but, yeah. But like, a couple of years ago, I don't think that term really existed. It's kind of new in the consciousness, but hey, what's going on here? You know, how come this term now exists? We get it. And so I'm noticing, you know, through other practices as well, but this one is a huge one, is you get more downloads. I mean, you know, as I drink my chaga and now I want to actually make a war chest. I want to actually make a chest. Something like, I want to find something that looks all like old and badass and like put it on the kitchen counter and just be like, this is like, what's that for? It's where I keep my weapons and mushrooms. What? You know? Oh gosh.
Not the worst place, by the way, because why not put mushrooms in their environment that they once came from, the forest? So we keep all of our mushrooms in open face crates, maybe not the full war chest, but I've always thought that was an important concept. I learned that from Wolf years ago. I thought that was a really cool idea, that leaving your mushrooms in an ecosystem in which it's familiar, trees.
Yes.
So have an open, beautiful chestnut basket or a pine basket or a birch basket. That way the mushrooms are getting that same resonance of which they came from in the forest.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Well, you know what? A new product from Black Magic Alchemy will be
the
mushroom war chest. Oh, that's so bad.
That's amazing.
Oh, I know. Gosh. I'm like, oh, I love it. That's okay. There you go. You know, a new business idea. Well, do you notice that? Like, how would you define those downloads? Because, you know, we'll just be a little bit eclectic this episode because it's fun. So how would you define?
We're talking about mushrooms, right?
Yeah, talking about
mushrooms. Makes sense too.
Yeah, I know, exactly. It's like so how would you define those downloads, and you have you noticed them being strengthened by working with your war chest?
Yeah, I would definitely say that. And here's how I would perceive this, because like, how do you square this, right? This download idea and thinking about it in terms of taking mushrooms. And this is the way I've always thought about it. Let's say you have a tomato garden in your backyard, right? We'll go from this angle. Okay, if you have a tomato garden in your backyard and you grow those tomatoes, Craig, and you put all your love and energy into it, every morning you go outside, you sit by them, you're reading your book outside in the morning to start your day. It's your morning ritual. And you know, you go take water and you thoughtfully give it water every day, and you prune back the little suckers and things that come out on the tomato plant that you don't really want too many of because you want the fruits to be beautiful. Okay, you spend a whole summer looking after those tomatoes. When you forage those tomatoes now, and let's say you make a tomato sauce, that sauce is going to intrinsically carry an energy of the love you put into it. It's going to contain a piece of you. Now, if you were to give that sauce to me, let's say, I bet you, if I took your sauce and I then bought a sauce on the shelf of any health food store, maybe even the best sauce I could find, even the best, with the best, most heirloom tomatoes and all that, I bet you any money, even if you didn't pull off it culinarily, I'm sure you actually are good with culinary. I have this funny feeling you like good with food.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Okay. Food people attract each other, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like even if you didn't try, just your energy as far as the growing process would imbue some of your energy uniquely in that food. And the way I would say that to anyone else is think about your grandmother or your mother who's maybe made you beautiful meals from your past. If you're Polish or Italian, they made some dish that you just loved. But the way they made it was the only way you want it. It's like you can never recreate that. And I think that's beyond just the technique of the chopping it the certain way, cooking it at a certain temperature. That's there, no doubt. But that process of putting that love into it that's uniquely from that person has an energy to it. And that energy is what you absorb when you then eat that food. And I think that's where that value comes through of human-made food, not made in factories, industrialized, or machine-made, but made by people. And when you think about it now, if you extend back another layer, think about when you buy your food, where it came from. When you're absorbing the food you're eating, you're not just getting the soil it grew in and the atmospheric conditions, like the sun and the rain and how moist that season was. Yes, that's there. That's certainly there. But there's something else. There's something magical about where it came from specifically. And that's why there's certain things in this world, like balsamic vinegar. Yes. If it comes from Modena, that region in Italy, that small little region near Bologna, if you have that specific balsamic, it has been so nurtured in that environment, in that area, and it's been passed down for generations how to grow these beautiful grapes and get the must and put it in the barrels. There's something magical, and that's why you'll see a lot of balsamic vinegar will say it's from that region, even though it turns out a lot of it's not. It's actually fake marketing. I have a whole video talking about that on fake foods. But the ones that are real, though, are incredible. And you could tell there's a difference. So when foods come from a certain region, there's something to it. When they're made by certain people, there's an energy that's been decoded into it. But also, when you then think about wild food, wow, that's another level altogether. Now there's no interference from the mind of man. Now there's something another level deeper. You're getting something that has been having to fight against the elements in a larger degree. That's why when you have like a wild blueberry, for instance, versus an organic blueberry, the wild blueberry is incredible. It's like one little tiny blueberry from the wild is like eating 10 blueberries from the best organic farm. So the wild food had to fight against all that. And then it's getting all that wisdom and energy from the forest. All of that data has been decoded into it. So what I believe with, when it comes to downloads and this idea, is when you consume food, you're consuming the download of who grew it or where it came from. And if you're getting it from nature directly, you're getting it right from the most pure source of all. So that allows you to become more of a receptive tower to pick up downloads from the field. That's what I've perceived as more wild food I've brought into my body from not just all the water I drink is wild water. My whole family, I've got hundreds of people on spring water, going to get their own wild spring water right from the earth, coming up from aquifers underneath the ground, 50 to 800 feet below the surface. When you drink wild water, you eat wild berries and wild mushrooms. Wow. The amount of downloads you get, it's like reading, like you're seeing a bunch of books behind me. A lot of them are Osho, Jerry Nestor Hicks, all types of amazing content. And I love having those books nearby. And I think that does something too.
Yes.
I swear, when you consume wild foods, it's like you get all the stuff that these great wisdom and great spiritual masters knew. It's like you get it from nature. That's the powerful thing of it. So I think it does that in the same way that we're talking about, like you growing your tomatoes and making a tomato sauce. It's going to have all the data of Craig infused in it. And when you get shaga from the wild, you're getting all the data from the wisdom of nature downloaded into it. So it makes you more receptive for downloads.
Yeah. Wow. That's awesome. Yeah. It helps to open those doors, you know, of our perception. It's just, it just creates a bigger door, creates more doors, you know? Yeah.
I love windows, that. Doors. Yeah,
windows, doors, whatever.
It just, all of it.
Yeah. It just kicks the doors in. And then there you go.
That's a good way to put it. I'll have that with the war chest analogy.
Kicks the doors in. Yeah.
That's
it's like I open my war chest in the morning, take my mushrooms to break down the barriers to you know,
kick the doors. Higher wisdom. That's good, man. I like that. I'm adding that in. It's in my arsenal. Yeah.
And so it feels like the arsenal. Yeah. And so it feels like. Also, one thing about the wild foods, and especially the wisdom mushrooms, and it could be, you know, gathering wild, you know, greens, and it could be anything, of course, that we're, you know, harvesting wild. But I feel that it also helps to get our RIS level up. And that's a word that I've just been so entertained with recently, the last couple months. You know, it's where that whole term, I think it's a fairly new term, maybe not, but just riz, meaning like charisma, happiness, energy, joy, you know, like what's the riz level? And I think that, you know, when you can get that riz level, whatever our resting riz level is, like whatever it is, when you can get that up 1%, you're in a different world of perception. You know, because people often wonder, like, I don't know what I want to do. Maybe they're like unhappy, or even if you are happy, but you know, it just feels like there often is an idea of, you know, I want a better life. I want to do more, you know, but people go, they don't know how to do it. And they're not sure. They just have a drive, a desire. And I think that, well, you know what? Yeah, if you go foraging, if you can, and also if you're using amazing products like from Black Magic Alchemy, then just by doing that, and I shouldn't say just by doing that, it's a lot of work, but by doing that, the next thing you know, risk is up 1% on average. Mm-hmm. And then it's almost like rather than ask that question of what should I do? I want to do more. I want to experience a greater life. It's like, well, get your energy in harmony with that. You know what I mean? And I think that's a huge one too. It's like, because most people would like to do more, have a greater experience of life. And it's like, well, it's your riz level, man. You got to get that riz level up. And then what to do, it will find you. It'll become apparent. It'll just happen, you know?
Yeah. It's like what you're saying with the riz level. When you make a lot of times, like what I found it's been is the best benefit maybe to nature, at least in the top five, I would say is that it opens a gap for you. Mm. And that's gaps are where good things can come through. Because if you fill yourself too much with, you know, a full calendar of calls and work and all the different obligations you've signed up for, if you don't leave any room for having a gap there, nothing can come through to you because you haven't left room for creative inspiration, for in the intuition to function. So when you go out to nature, you finally get a gap because it's forced upon you. Yes. Because when you're out there and you're walking through the forest, you can't 100% focus on the things you were thinking about before. You have to focus on stepping and walking, and then you let go of that motor process, and then it's like your body does it for you. That's the magical thing. It's 10, 20 minutes in the woods off trail, and suddenly you're not really thinking about going over the logs, or you kind of just know where to step suddenly and what trees you can grab if you're climbing up like a little rock face. Suddenly something comes through you that seems to take over that motor function, just like driving. If you drive the same route over and over again, and there's some point where you almost don't even think about it, and you're suddenly doing that drive and suddenly you're there. What the hell? Where did 20 minutes go? Well, that process of doing that when you're out in the forest, to me, adds that gap in your life. It adds that space for something to come through to change your life. That's why I've seen with the people we brought out mushroom foraging, we've done hundreds of these retreats where people come out 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 people. And I've always heard a couple weeks later, a week later, a day later, these people will message and let me know that their whole life has been clarified for them. Suddenly they had some opening, something in their relationship that wasn't working became clear to them. Something in their work life that they weren't satisfied with and they want to try a new career path has opened up for them. Or they're taking their health more seriously, or their spiritual purpose, or they just want to get back into nature more. Something always opens up. And I find that special. That's something to not take for granted, the gaps, because as much as it's great to keep reading all the different books and trying to absorb the knowledge and podcasts and Netflix and all of this, you know, documentaries and such, I think that's great. But if you're always putting stuff in, you don't have time to just let it come out and create that space in between the notes of the music, in between the sentences on a page. You got to have that moment for reflection. And I think nature really, really puts that on you to do that. You hear the birds, you're paying attention. You see the moss, you're looking over there, you're looking at the mushrooms on the trees. It opens you up from so many different ways, angles, senses. So that gap, I think, is what we're talking about with that idea of opening up the channel so downloads can come in, and that riz factor, that high vibration state, can start to unlock itself. So you see it with people. They start getting obsessed with going out hiking. They go on one or two hikes with their friend, or go up to a cabin with a bunch of friends, and suddenly they want to go on this big hike in Spain and go from this monastery to this monastery. They want to go up to the Pacific Northwest and go check out the rainforest up there. And suddenly all these different things start opening up once you go into nature. It's like you just can't get enough of it. So once you start, you can't stop. And I think that's special. Those things that just call you naturally to it.
And as we develop more and more that ability to feel, you know, energetically, because like where you're going through Europe, I mean, I know one of the things I'd want to do if I was there is, you know, yeah, go to the old monasteries, go to the old castles, go to the stone circles. There's so many. Go to the many, you know, energetic places. Gosh, there's so many in like Ireland where I think there's this one little meditation spot that's ancient where it's all these big like rocks of quartz. And so you go in the ground into this like quartz center, and I'm like, dude, I'm there,
man.
I'm like, whoa, you know. I know. You could see the riz from space. The space shuttle's like, what's that? Oh,
that ultraviolet rays of light coming off of it.
Yeah, it's like, look at that. Oh my gosh, you know. And so and you know, and do you feel that you kind of approach life that way now where you go, wow, I'm going to go see these amazing places, but not just see, I'm going to feel them. I'm going to know them, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I've taken more of a stance in my life over the last couple of years to really invoke more, to invoke not just hobbies or maybe activities is the right word, overarching. You know, like, mm-hmm. I think it's important to add as much to your life as possible because it's so easy to get in these day after day just looks the same. But when you start taking on hobbies or traveling and going to these beautiful places and taking the time to do that, or picking up, I started playing tennis recently and I'm playing like 3 hours every other day at this point, and it's like the best I've felt in my life. And it's like bringing that into my life, I can't even describe how much it's brought in. It feels so good. And then you book that flight and you're thinking, oh my God, I got to go check out these quartz crystal caves or these fairy circles in Scotland. And then else? It brings that childlike energy back into you where you really want to go explore this world and explore all the facets. And the reason I brought in tennis and activities is because I think it's important, because if you're too one-dimensional and you don't have that Renaissance energy of doing multiple things, you can get stagnant very quickly. And I think new activities, like I have the guitar behind me, I played years ago. I just started picking it up again. Bringing in music opens up a channel.
Yes.
Playing a sport with friends, like tennis or soccer or baseball or whatever, opens up channels. Going traveling to new environments opens up channels. Reading new books opens it up. So I think you want to open as many layers as possible, because you never know how those things influence you in another way, whether it's in a YouTube video you're recording for your podcast, or it's a product you're working on as an entrepreneur, or the job you work at. It brings that creative energy into you. It brings that thrill for life. I think it's so valuable to do that. And I've taken more of that stance in my life to make sure I'm doing that every year. I'm bringing in a couple new things. I'm improving. I'm getting more talented at something and learning all the nuanced skills of it. And I've always been into travel. I've always done it since I was 18. I've been traveling, but I felt like, okay, it's great, but I don't want to just have that one dimension, like mushroom hunting and traveling. It'd be great if I could go bring my tennis racket and go play in the most remote, beautiful tennis court in Scotland on an island. Oh. Wait up by Loch Ness. I want to go see that tennis court and record a whole drone footage shot of playing tennis there. That would be amazing. And then, you know, go to a shop somewhere in London and pick up a little guitar and go play and learn that in London, and go hang out with my friends in England. I just think you want to bring in as many layers as possible. I've seen that at this point. I just turned 33. I turned 33 this year. It's like, I'm like thinking I just turned, it's February. But when I think about it, I wish I knew that in my early 20s to add more activities in my life, because I look back and I think, why wasn't I playing a sport in my 20s? Why wasn't I playing more music in my 20s? Why wasn't I reading these type of books or learning documentaries about ancient architecture and the histories that we don't get told, or about the calendar and about time and science? Thinking, oh my God, I was so one-dimensional, entrepreneurship, travel, mushrooms. And it's like, I'm so glad now in my 30s, I'm bringing in all these other dynamics. So I would say, in effect, that's opened up the riz. It's increased the vibration.
Yes.
It's opened the downloads. And it's made my life feel more complete in doing that. And I wish I knew that in my early 20s to take that more seriously.
Oh, yeah. And really, that's allowing downloads in a sense, because a lot of downloads come from activity. You know, like I look at it like, contacting you to be on the show again, I don't really know why. Well, I know why. I saw the mushrooms, you know, and I went, oh, time to have Shane back on. But that's what it was, you know. So when we go and we do things, like when you go and you wander in the desert Then the next thing, so when you go play tennis, when you go adventure, whatever it is, when we just allow ourselves, yes, to do these things, then there's downloads in the process. It's not all about downloads, but there's like, we're being called to do things. And there's so many experiences there in Europe for you that are calling you. And like, they exist right now. Like there's this future pool that's calling you. Hey, come here and do this. Hey, go look over here. Go, you know what I mean? Because yeah. So in a sense, it's kind of like it's a little bit challenging to the ego where you go, you know what? I'm most alive and most self-aware when I'm not driving, when I'm just, you know, allowing. Oh, there you go. There's Esther Hicks and there's Abraham. When you
there we go. Exactly.
In that state of allowing, you go like, wow, all of a sudden, whoa, all I do is just, I just experience. I'm on this roller coaster. It's amazing. Yeah. So,
yeah. It's beautiful how it unfolds too, because
yes,
I've started to really, I love how you brought in Jerry Nestor Hicks on that allowing, because that process of like, to define that idea of download, I think the download is not just like a information download of, oh, I need to make these big changes in my life, or, oh, this download, I needed to do this creative concept. It's not only those. I think the download is also bringing that massive dose of happiness to your life, because when I originally was thinking about going to Europe, the first thought wasn't Scotland necessarily. I actually was thinking more Mediterranean, going to Italy or Spain. I was looking at those regions, but it wasn't 100%. And this is what I've learned too, that sometimes you don't get that clear download, let's say, that clear direction, let's call it that too. You don't always get that immediately. Sometimes you just gotta chew on it for a bit and think about it and just pay attention to what's out there. Go for the walk in the desert or the forest, or just, you know, put it out there. This is what I would like. I want to go to Europe. And over time, suddenly, whether it's through a YouTube video, you see a little documentary about the Scottish wildcats that are out there. And next thing you learn about, like a friend just got back from there and talked about the fairy circles and the,
the
stone castles. And then you start thinking about, well, yeah, I mean, the moss. I've been paying attention to more moss in the forest. There's a lot of moss out there, I've heard, in Scotland. And then you start thinking, okay. And then you start looking at flights and suddenly you see some really good flight prices, direct flight. I don't have to get off the plane. And it's that much. Wait, I could do some wild camp. Suddenly, you get on this exciting roller coaster when you thought it was going to be one thing, but because you created space, what we were just saying, going out mushroom foraging or going out hiking or taking that time to create space, suddenly you can see maybe what I was so thinking it was, going to Spain or Italy or wherever it may be. It's not that. I opened space and suddenly became more clear. There's other options out there. Oh, and then Scotland becomes more and more clear. And suddenly, next thing you know, it's the most obvious choice. You got to go. And everything just flowed into it with no effort. It was like no effort it's been at all the whole time. And it's been nothing but a blessing ever since it became clear that's the spot. So I think everything in life's like that. Whether you're looking to get a new car and you're like, which car do I get? And you're looking and not really seeing it. Well, like, hold on for a minute. Just create the download space.
Yes.
And allow those choices to come forward to you. That is so special when you let life happen in that way, because then all the best things you get are what you want. All the best things come to you because you're not so gung-ho about it being this specific way. And I think that's what it is with letting go of the ego. It's saying, maybe I don't know what's best. Maybe there's something bigger off this radar screen of perception I have that's even better for me. But the only way I can see it is if I create more space so I'm aware of it. I can still focus and lean into that idea of like, I do know I want to get on a plane and travel somewhere, but I'm okay if it's not going to be Spain. Let's see where else it could be. Then it all unfolds in front of you. And then you realize when you do get it, that's the best thing that could have happened. So I've learned to let go more and more. And this is like maybe that overarching idea with, let's say, with mushrooms and foraging and being out in nature. Mm-hmm. I think that is one of the best things I found, is like that medicinal dose, that antidote to the ego of thinking you know best, is being out in nature and doing things like foraging, because it really gives you space to allow the right downloads to come through to guide you into the things in your life that are the best for you.
Yes. And that's, it reminds me of what Bashar says, you know, follow your excitement, you know. If it's not exciting, don't do it. And and so that's the thing, because it's a process. And so that's a beautiful, you know, the download is a future pull that's pulling us through moments of excitement. This is exciting. That's exciting. Now that's exciting. you're just following the excitement, and that's a beautiful thing. And so I think that is really a key. And so, yeah, if we get our RIS level up, you know, through nature, you know, spending time in nature, whether it's a desert and you're being attacked by, you know, Gila monsters, or it's the, you know, or it's the Pacific Northwest and Bigfoot mm-hmm. throwing rocks at you. It doesn't matter. You know, you're out there and you're doing it. And exactly. I think maybe that's faith in the path, because yesterday I was actually talking to Renee Garcia, who wrote a new book, The Quantum Capitalist, you know, and she was talking about, in one of the chapters in her book, it talks about having trust. You know, here's something that I think it's cultivated along with everything that we're talking about is I forget sometimes during the day, I do, but now I've realized that she has a chapter and it's just this very simple affirmation and a person can make their own. But even though we've probably all done our affirmations, of course, you know, but how often have we really, like, you know, put one up here and there that, like, the universe is safe. The universe is helping me. Everything always works out for me. I always win, you know? And so you just start, you actually say, I'm going to make this powerful affirmation because that's what I really believe. But it's easy to forget that constantly during the day. And so I'm like, yeah, you know what? I'm going to put that in the bathroom. I'm going to put that on the fridge. We all know the power of affirmations, but, you know, I think that everything that we're talking about helps one remember that, no, you know, yes, a bear might eat you, but don't worry about it. That's very unlikely. So like bad things may happen. Okay. Yeah. But the universe, loves you, wants to help you. Everything always works out for me. You know, I always win, et cetera, et cetera. And you have this powerful affirmation of, like, everything is really great. There's this incredible energy. I'm just like, right. I'm just getting my RIS up and I have all these future pulls through all these exciting things. It's just really, really great, great, great. It's safe. It's beautiful. It's happening. It's energetic. Wow. Life is actually very, very safe and beautiful and loving and good and creative, you know? And, like, I thought, wow, you know, I need to, you know, along with my shaga in the war chest and, you know, spending time in nature, I need to remember that on purpose. To the point where I'm going to write that crap down and I'm going to start sticking around the house. People are going to think I'm crazy. That's fine. It's already too late for that anyway. So just, you know, oh, look, now you're putting pictures up. Yeah, it was really cool. Yeah.
You know? I hear you, buddy. The same way.
Yeah. Oh, look what he's done now. You know.
Well, like, I love what you're saying with the, you know, the RIS factor. It's something that, here's what I experienced for my whole 20s. I wrote in my journal almost every single day. Like, there's not a time I can really remember going out to a cafe as a digital nomad and pulling up my laptop that I didn't at least pull my journal out and write a couple sentences before I started. And a lot of that wasn't journaling the experience that was happening. It was actually a journal of being thankful, appreciative, and grateful. It was writing down the things that I was focused on, like the goal setting, like very Napoleon Hill Law of Success, 16 Lessons, Think and Grow Rich idea. But it was also a lot of gratitude, like Jerry Nestor Hicks, like allowing and being grateful for the experience and everything's working in my ultimate advantage, like that type of thought. And I did that all through my 20s. And right around the end of that, I started converting it to not being as much writing, not as much filling out pages, but then starting more vocally and then doing a lot of exercises in the sauna, like tuning fork audios and then saying these phrases over and over again. And I found, as I've kind of gone into my 30s, I find I don't do it as much as I did, because I do think there is a point where you start to encode it so much into yourself that it's like, that's all I've sustained myself on for the better part of 12 years of my life is that self-development and self-help and affirmations and creation thought process, that it feels like I established a resonant frequency inside myself that's what it will be. That it's not as like, it's like, I don't find I have to do it as much. But every so often, it certainly doesn't hurt and definitely helps to say it in the car. You know, the radio's off and you're like, life is great. It's amazing. I'm so thankful for my life. I'm so thankful for this experience. I'll go on these rampages of appreciation every so often. But I think the thing that's valuable to it is this. It's like this. when I do like health coaching with people, I find that at first they're very resistant because they're thinking, oh no, I've got to change all the things I do and I can't live the same way I did before and shop at the same stores. And they think, oh my God, now I got to really pay attention to all these things. Like, is a food organic? Is where's this meat from if I'm eating this? And where is all this thought? Where's my olive oil from? Is it clean? Is it a good source? It's like a lot of homework suddenly you have to do, right? But what I found is this, people think now I've got to do this the rest of my life, this extra thing on my shoulders. I always think it's not actually that, because here's what happens. As you continue on that journey of becoming health minded and vital, as you keep doing that, at first you do have to put some effort into considering all the things in your toothpaste, all the things in your shampoo, the things in your cabinet with all the spices, all the things you buy, what stores, who they're made by, all those things have to be considered, your supplements, all of it. Everything that goes in your mouth has to be thought about, and everything goes on your skin. So at first you got to pay a lot of attention and you really got to do it. And after a while, it becomes your resonant frequency where all you can possibly put in your mouth is something that you went and got from a farm up the road, or you could only eat at certain farm-to-table restaurants, or you would only want to eat this way anyways. There's no other option. It becomes your resonant frequency. And I feel the same thing has happened with the law of attraction ideas and all of that. Like, I really took it seriously. It's like every minute I had spare that I was driving or just going for a walk, I was listening to podcasts and doing training and in societies and groups. I was always focused on it. And I felt like, oh man, after a couple of years, I thought, damn, am I going to do this the rest of my life? And I'm like, well, to some degree you will, but there will come a point where the only time you don't have to do it anymore is when you can't get enough of it. And at that point, it's impossible to stop. So I heard one of my mentors once say that. It's like, the only point where you don't need this information anymore and all these different affirmations and all this stuff is when you just can't get enough of it. When you're so addicted to it, that's when you actually don't need it. But the problem is now you're addicted and now you keep wanting to do it. So I feel like it becomes a point where it becomes your resonant frequency. And while you may not, I don't feel like I have to write it down as much or say it out loud as much because it's in me for doing it for so long.
Yeah.
I will still occasionally do it, but I find there is a balance point that you come to where you almost got your dose for a while. And now you just go out into the world and approach the world with this new state of being that you've absorbed from all the information you've put out there, all the words you've spoken, all the things you've read. You confront the world with it. The world gives you feedback. And then you go back to it after a period of time. And then you need that Osho reading. You sit down and you go through Osho again and you get that re-download that he had, or Jarinus or Hicks. So that's my experience with it, Craig, is that I found that at first I really definitely needed it to get out of my negative loops that I had. That I think everyone has, unless you do this training, you really kind of just are given that by modern society. The programming of everything we see out there is generally swayed negative until you learn to pull yourself out and only objectively choose the things you put in your body. Because the default will be, if you turn on the radio, 99% of it's crap. It's going to be top 40 hits that are programming you to be brokenhearted or to feel like the world's putting you down. Like, it's not empowering generally. The news is not empowering. We know that. Most people's conversations are kind of like, how are you? Not bad. What does that mean? Not bad. What the fuck does that even mean? I'm not bad. I'm not bad. That's the default, that it's either bad or you're just not bad. How about, it sounds corny to say, but I do say this all the time. Every morning, I always make a point to say, what a glorious day we have here. It's like, go outside and get the sunlight. And it's like, that I will do, because I think that's a good way to start the day and programs you. But I think the default is to be negative. The default is not bad food generally. It's like, you do have to make an effort until it becomes nothing but your natural state. That's what I mean.
It does become your natural state. Yeah. Especially with our diet, you know, and of course there's a mental diet, there's a spiritual diet, there's a food diet, everything. But, and I do understand what people go through, because, I used to be like, oh my God, now I can't eat anything or whatever. And it's an evolving process, you know, but now I really don't think about it. Like, we will drive up to Sedona to get a Sedona spring water.
So, I know the spring. I love that. The spring right up in the mountain area.
Yep.
That's the best water. I love that water. I got a lot of it when I was there.
Yeah. And see, there you go. And so that's how things change, where it's not like, I got to do what? Now I can't drink like water anymore. What the hell? You know, no, you're like, no, we're like cruising up to Sedona. And then of course there's a lot of magical things up there. And yep. So we go up there and get our, you know, I mean, cause it's going through all that quartz that's in the ground under Sedona. So you're just getting this RIS enhanced water. And then you're getting like the wisdom of the rocks and the quartz. It's so beautiful. Yeah. And all that, and the energy of the water. And then, yeah. And then food, you just don't, yeah, I really don't think about it anymore. You know, you just, and it becomes simpler. You know, you realize that, wow, like the world really wants to poison us. It's really trying to, but you're not doing that anymore. You're like, I've got my, you know, you're like, I've got my local, you know, pasture-raised meat. Or you go hunting, whether it's for animals and or you're hunting and gathering. Maybe you're hunting animals, maybe you're hunting mushrooms, but it's like, it becomes this excitement. You go like, oh my gosh, you know, it's like I'm going like hunting next week, you know, oh my gosh, I'm going to go out and like, you know, get spring water tomorrow. It just becomes, it just becomes excitement. And people look at you like, you know, oh gosh, first the signs about how the universe loves to kiss your ass. And now you're happy to go get water. You're like, I'm pretty jazzed. I'm like, I just can't believe how great it is. I mean, can you imagine? Like, and all these things are free, really. Like it's the water is free. You know, it comes out of the ground. You know,
Like what else are people doing? That's what I think sometimes. I'm going to get the spring water or go pick wild apples at like my grandfather's like got this farm and there's these wild apple trees. And I'm thinking, what else are people doing right now that's fun? I don't get what's more fun than this. Going out and getting wild food. You didn't even plant it. Nature's provided it. And it's like all these varieties of heirloom apples are just there. And then you're out in the forest and there's like these things growing in the moss that you forage that if you went to any restaurant and you bought like a yellow leg chanterelle pasta, it would be insane. It'd be like $40, $50 because these mushrooms are so, so elusive to find. And here you are and you're in a patch of them. It's like everywhere you step, you're stepping in them and you're thinking, what else do people do for fun? I don't even get what's more fun than going to get water, going to the farm. I've tried to have more fun than that. And it's like, honestly, when you go with your family or your friends or your partner, it's like, it's the greatest thing in the world. I love it. And I think anyone that opens that up for themselves, it becomes it's like you said, I don't look at it like the water. Oh, they're trying to get me with the water. I'm like, I just don't want to drink. That's like unhygienic. It would be like not showering for 3 weeks. That would be what it feels like if I put that water in my mouth from the tap or a restaurant.
Yeah,
it that's what it becomes. And instead, it's like I don't look at it like this negative thing. It becomes this positive thing. Like I can't wait to have my spring water soon. I can't wait to go get a thing of spring water or take a glass and right now just drinking it. Like, I just love that I have this water at access. Mm-hmm. I'm drinking the best water in the world. You could be a billionaire and not have better water than this because this is from nature. You can do all the science you want, all the electrifying processes and electrolyte adding and reverse osmosis. You can't beat this. Water from the earth can't be beat. Food from nature can't be beat. And I think that's wild to understand that factor. And that to me is the magic of how much that brings to your life. It's so special. So it's like the risk factor goes up constantly as you're doing all these little things like the water, the farm, the people you meet at the spring in Sedona, like all of those things just make your life so rich.
Yeah. And water has memory, you know? And so when we realize that water has memory, and of course, there's so much we could talk about, like that's just the podcast in itself, you know, but water, but you have this water coming up and then you're lovingly and thankfully gathering it, you know? Mm-hmm. And so it's not a chore at all. That's bliss, you know? So it's you're blissful. Following your excitement. Like, it's really hard to be taxed, but and this thing, when you're following your excitement, you're getting Riz, you're getting energy, you become energized. So it's like you're driving up the, you know, 89A in Sedona and you're like, you're just digging it. You're like, you know, and then of course there's always a parking spot right there for you, you know, turn around, hop in and then you're like, it's just like, wow. And, yeah, people drive by and go, look at those crazy people.
Yeah. Is that water safe?
Exactly. People are like, oh, is that water safe? I'm like, no. No, it'll totally jack your life up. So anyway,
exactly. Ready for this. Yeah.
You might not want to drink this. Actually, you do want to drink it. Just, you know,
yeah.
Make sure you have a life coach before you start any, but yeah, like, yeah, that's great. Well, one thing about, it's also expectation is a huge one. So, like you're mentioning how, you know, having that, the universe being supporting, loving, everything working out for you, you know, adventures unlimited, basically. Mm-hmm. I find that for me, one of the things that helps just to set that state is expectation. You know, it's almost kind of like a cheat code to all of it. Cause you know, when you truly do expect the best and expect magical events and magical people, magical occurrences, amazing synchronicities, you know, then they happen. So expectation there you go. Expectation. Cheat code for Riz is expectation.
You expect it. Yes, exactly. And with the word expectation, I also perceive it as sometimes things go differently than you yes. wanted, but that doesn't mean it's not that you can't expect the best always, because those things that happen differently than you thought it would go, and it could be perceived as maybe I'm going to be disappointed because this isn't going the way I thought. Those can be the best adventures of your life. Like a quick example, when I was up north with my family, my grandfather wanted to take us to this river he had not been to for 20 years. And we're talking, this is a magical river, like rapids, like these big, gigantic black shale rocks along the outside of it. It's super deep too. Like we were putting like 10-foot sticks down and still couldn't hit the bottom of these rivers. Like it was really beautiful. And we're talking in Canada too. So it's like wild. Like I threw the drone up at one point. You're looking around. As far as the drone could see, any direction, as far as I could fly without losing the reception, there's just forests and rivers and lakes. It's unbelievably beautiful. So my grandfather wanted to take us to this spot where he had been 20 years ago, and he had a couple of friends that had canoed the whole like hundreds of kilometers of this thing. So he wanted to take us one spot where he had been, where his friend and him carved their name in the rock there, right? And he wanted to take us there as our whole family, my aunt, myself, my parents. We were all going to go together. So we got on the ATVs and we ride down these trails, these old logging trails that are like basically abandoned. Like the whole thing's overgrown. Like you're just whacking trees out of your way going and you're so far out. There's no cell service. So finally we get to a part where we can't go any further because there's so many down trees on the little tiny trail. So we get off and we're just trying to use a GPS. Like my grandpa's like, okay, I know it's south. We got to go over here. Okay. So we start walking, right? We're walking. It should be a 20-minute walk. It turns out, Craig, it's 3 hours. 3 hours because we come across basically a cliff. And then we have to get around it. And there's like this moss stuff and we're falling in. And we're finding mushrooms on the way. And this gigantic, literally a reishi. That's like, it was like a 2.5 foot reishi.
Oh, wow. Just
massive, massive reishi. Perfect. One reishi on a hemlock. All these yellow-legged chanterelles, these really rare culinary mushrooms. We're out there and it's like, it took us a lot longer. We were exhausted by the time we found the river. And while you're thinking that did not go as we thought with that quick 20 minute, get to the river and then walk along the river. That 3 hours was also packed with finding reishi, this giant reishi. I would have not seen if we took the other route. All these yellow like mushrooms that are amazing, which I never even found in Canada. I've only found them in Greece. So I thought, oh my God, to find them here is incredible. And we're having fun out there. We're laughing. It's hard. The dogs are falling through the moss. You're in rock canyon areas. It was so beautiful that at any moment, it was almost easy to flip into this as before we get to the river. Are we even going to get there before nightfall? You're almost feeling like it's going against your expectation. It's disappointing you of like, where the hell is a river? I'm getting tired. But when you get to that river, it's so worth the journey. And when you look back and even during the experience, you just kept laughing and having fun and seeing people fall over in the moss and packs of mushrooms and it's heavy. And my dad's got his like fishing box walking through the woods for 3 hours, banging it with a fishing lure. And it's like, you know what, man, that's what life's about. It's not about its smooth process every time and efficiency. It's about the adventure. And that is what it can go against expectation of your expectation. You're going to get there in 20 minutes and it takes 3 hours, but those, you just have to do the flip in the mind and say, instead of that going the way I thought it was, it's just turned into a crazy adventure. The flight's delayed. okay, it's going to be a little adventure. Maybe I'm going to go to the bookstore and find the next book that's going to change my life.
Yes.
Or, you know, maybe I just sit down and relax for a bit and grab a coffee. And or then you get on the plane and, yeah, you're delayed. And then this other good thing happens where you discover some restaurant you would have never found. And there's always that magical opportunity waiting there if you just let go of it being something that has to disappoint you and instead see it as something that adds to the adventure and the richness of life, the dynamics of it.
Oh, it's so beautiful. Exactly. And so that's the thing. You're driving along, you're driving and you got to turn and somebody, you know, like comes up next to you and like cuts you off and flips you off and, you know, and then you, then like you look to your passenger and go, adventure awaits. There's there's something this way. Obviously the universe was like, the universe was like, you got to go this way. I'll send this guy here, one of my agents, and he's gonna go there. And
nudges happen. It's like, leave room for the nudges and leave room for the universe to guide you on the best route possible.
Yes. Oh, that's it. It's so beautiful. That's exactly it. And that's a huge part of expectation. So really, no matter what happens, you just go, adventure awaits. Oh, great. We're supposed to go this way. Oh, it's perfect. And the thing about it is you're always right.
Yeah.
You know, you're always right. We always win. Great part of that affirmation. I always win. I always do, you know?
Yep.
So it's like, yeah. So anything that's like bugging me, you might as well just give up now because I'll win anyway. So just make it easy on yourself. Yeah.
I love that's that control of the mind. It's like that Jedi mind ability to control your mind and stop it from going negative, because there's lots of things in life that you could easily twist and perceive it as negative and people complain or be angry. Like you see this on vacations, like, People wait all year. They book this vacation, let's say to Cuba or Mexico, or they're going to be on the beach in Cancun. But then it's like the smallest thing sets them off and they're at the resort. Like, this is taking too long to check in. It's like, you waited like a year to get on this trip and now you're here. And now it's like, it's taking 2 minutes longer to go through the line to get your hotel room. Who cares? Relax.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So I think that's like always remembering, I could perceive this either way. Anything can be perceived as negative or anything can be perceived as positive, but life's a lot better when you twist it to be, let's just look at it at the least as an adventure. It's always an adventure. And that least is a good least.
Yeah. Adventure Unlimited. Yeah. It reminds me of when I was a little kid in Sunday school and, you know, like, well, if you're good, you go to heaven. If you play by all these rules. And I was a little kid and I was thinking, but most people are miserable. I don't care where you put them. So if there is this place called heaven, right? I don't see how it would make a difference.
Right. You know what right.
I mean? It's like, okay, so it's nice. You don't have to like poop anymore. You don't have to eat. Right. I guess you just, but great. I mean, like the dynamic sucks. Right. So how's that? Anyway, it just really got me as a kid. I'm like, I don't see this as a good deal at all. You know? And then I kind of realized as a little kid, I'm just like, you know what? But if you're happy, you're already in heaven. You know, so it's like, really, it's like,
you have to start now.
Because
wherever you go, there you are.
Wherever you go, there you are. And you're always stuck with yourself. So make it a good experience. You know,
be your own best friend. Yeah. Enjoy your company. Enjoy your time. And doing things like going for a walk every day, I think, is a healthy practice to get that. Go for a walk and don't put your, I think I did walks wrong for years, in my opinion. I was always going for walks, you know, 15, 20 minute walk after breakfast, after dinner. And I would throw a podcast on or I'd call someone. And sometimes that's okay. I'm not saying never, but I realized that's not the way I want to most commonly do it though. That time I want to take to just literally smell the roses, like look around, enjoy my walk and just breathe in the trees and look around at what's around you. Even if you're in a city, like walk around, just see things and allow yourself to just be quiet for a minute. And that teaches you to be a friend to yourself. That teaches you to enjoy your own company and doing things like going for a walk just by yourself and having that time alone. I think that's critical. Those are valuable times in the car, not always putting the radio or podcast on.
Yeah.
Unless it's Radiant Creators and obviously.
Oh, then, yeah. Yeah.
But outside of that. But sometimes it's nice to be just completely quiet. And I've taken time to do that. And I think those things make yourself your own best friend. It makes you enjoy your own company. So that way you can be put into situations that could be stressful or annoying, like waiting in line or stuck in traffic or delayed flights. And you instead just enjoy it. You just like make the best of it. You kind of just observe, people watch, bring out a book if you need to, or just sit quietly, or, you know, just find something that puts yourself in a positive mood. And I think that's it. And it's like, not to say I'm always like, sometimes it's like you want to have a little gripe session and get at it with people and have a debate. I think sometimes there's a valuable point to come from some of that. But ultimately, how you perceive life is like, what is your definition of life? If your definition of life is something like this, it's like, it's a magical adventure. Well, God, you're going to have a great adventure. If you see it that way, you're going to have a great existence. If you see it that way, if you see life as like every day is just not bad, well, your life's going to be just not bad, but it's not going to be good. So it's like that definition you put to life and how you walk through it is going to affect how you perceive everything. And it all starts from now. Cause like we're saying, it's like, you're going to get to heaven, but if you get there and you've been grumpy and bitchy your whole life about everything and ungrateful, what's the difference going to be? You've been bringing that personality with it. You've been building the muscle of that personality the whole time. So what you really want to do is just start now. And some of those things that you can do to do that now are doing things like over those walks, be out in nature, looking at things from the better light, not being disappointed. Instead, setting your expectation. I'm going to have a good time no matter what. I'm going to go on an adventure. I'm going to have a good time and it's going to be wild and let's see what happens, and leaving room for the magic to occur, the spontaneity. And man, life like just gets better and better. It just every day becomes the best day ever when you do it that way.
Oh, it does. It does. It absolutely does. Well, I've had you for a while, but one thing I'd like to maybe touch on if you still have time is something I noticed when I saw the mushrooms popping up in the desert was the mushrooms are Earth's fascia, you know, popping up. Something that I've started to do recently is fascia release. And this is a new one. I mean, well, it's not new. It's been around, 5,000 years, right? People, yogis knew about it, right? But and the thing is actually not just yoga, but like deep fascia work, you know, because we have our fascia, you know, between like the muscle and the skin, we have that network. And if you look at it, if you actually look at like, well, on an animal, they call it the cull, you know, we call ours fascia. And so if you look at it, it looks like a neural network, you know, and it also looks like a mycelium network. And it's almost like, When you start doing fascia release, because you know some believe that it holds emotion and trauma, so when you start to like roll on the balls and you start to do different working at releasing the fascia, and it's actually painful and pleasant, and at first it's just a little awful, but then eventually you start to enjoy it. But wow, do things ever come up? You just, it's like, you know, I've watched people start, you know, crying, and people start, it actually can really cause a lot of downloads, you might say, to realize that, wow, I've got some real dread around this or that, because you start breaking that trauma loose. And then of course you have to process it to let it go. And so what I was thinking is how humanity is definitely not well, as far as health goes, you know, some are, but I would say most are not. And so right now we have, I'm just wondering about this. There's something happening, and I kind of feel like Shaga and Reishi and all the other, you know, medicinal mushrooms, and even mushrooms just taste good, are showing up because, I mean, a couple of years ago, there wasn't, black magic alchemy. You know, there wasn't so many mushroom supplements and tinctures in the health food stores, but now there are. A lot's popped up in the last decade or two, you know, and so it seems like humanity is ill. We're getting sicker, and now the mushrooms are, if I feel like there's this consciousness, like they're showing up. Do you get that feeling? Like they go, oh, okay, humanity's really not well. Let's just start showing up. Spores are going to be flying. We got to take care of business, because like, you know, mycelium, is like the Earth's fascia. Like we have our own fascia in our body, and it holds trauma. It holds happiness. But when you break up the trauma, you have to process it. It's almost like the mushrooms are now emerging to help us break up the Earth Earth and humans to break that trauma up. I'll just throw it out there. What do you think of that?
Oh, I agree 100%. I've been a huge proponent of that concept for many years now, being in the mushroom space. I've seen it. I was into health foods when I was 18, and I went for about 4 or 5 years, believe it or not even knowing about Shaga and Reishi. I didn't even know. And I was about 23 when I first came across it. And at that point, I thought, how is this possible? I have done all of these super herbs, super foods, like even crazy shit like polysaccharis black ant for the zinc. Like, ant. How did I do ants before shaga? That doesn't even make sense to me. I did green juicing and all these superfoods and camu and all this stuff. And I'm thinking, only now I hear about shaga and reishi. And it's like, it took me off guard, like mushrooms, really? Mm. And I was really surprised by that. I had already had experience in my teenage years of culinary mushrooms. I knew lots about that from my grandfather, like morels and chanterelle and so forth, and foraging those. I knew about that. And I thought, how did I never come across this before? And at around that point, it propped up and showed up in myself. And I started becoming fascinated by it and passionate about it because I was at a point in my life where I was ready for a spiritual change. I was ready to do my own business and be an entrepreneur. I had been ready for that for a while with health and wellness. And for me, it popped up. So suddenly I started taking it and becoming obsessed with foraging it and learning about it and going up every weekend and going out looking for it. It became my absolute obsession. And then I moved to Los Angeles when I was 25 and I started working with Four Sigmatic and I saw it firsthand. It had just begun. They had come from Finland. I'm coming from Canada. Yeah. We show up there and it's like, no one's heard of it. When we're sampling products at Air One, like the crazy trendy health stores and Whole Foods, no one's heard of it still. Like one out of 10 people maybe has heard of it and the rest have no idea. And even if they've heard of it, they're kind of like, oh, I don't know if I take it though. Like, what do you mean a tea of this? Like, this seems weird. A tea is green tea. They picture it totally different. Like, oolong, right? So I saw what happened from that point in the last 7 years. It just started getting more and more well-known, more and more well-popularized. And suddenly it went from just being reishi, then it became shaga, then cordyceps for athletes, then lion's mane for dementia or the nootropic benefits of it, memory. It became a biohacking food. Next thing you know, now it's in all the smoothies. Then all of a sudden there's all these tinctures with six mushrooms in it. Forget just one. We got to put six. And now it's powders and this. And it's like you'd be hard pressed to find a greens powder that doesn't have mushrooms in it, right? So what happened? And my feeling is that, as they say, when the teacher's ready, or when the student's ready, I should say, the teacher will appear. I mean, kind of both ways, though, when you think about it. When
exactly.
It's both ways.
They mutually arise,
They mutually arise. And it's like, yes, it's always been there. Like, these things have been taken for thousands of years. Literature on shaga goes back to 1000 BC. Like, it's like, it's not new. Reishi has 5,000 years of clinical research studies. And I say clinical, like the OG level, when the Chinese medicine practitioners were looking at the effects of what was happening to people's acumeridian pressure points and the energy flow of the body with taking mushrooms. This is going back 5,000 years. This is well documented. Lion's mane is well known and understood. The Siberian shamanism concepts around shaga and polypore mushrooms, it's all been there. Cordyceps going back to the all the dynasties and royalty taking it. It is well understood that these have been taken. But it's like it kind of went quiet for a while until society as a whole was needing it more than ever because cancer rates and the medical industry has completely botched it and let us all down and it's made it worse. We all know that. It's become obvious. It's only made things worse. Mm. These things now have come to the forefront when we need it the most, when cancer rates have gone nothing but up and tumor and dementia and all the different issues. Every single disease has gone up without exception. Every disease has gone up. All these issues arise. Suddenly, these things come to the forefront when we need it, not just for the body, but for the spirit, for the mind. So to me, all of these things, and it's not just that, even plants, like you see ayahuasca or psychedelics, plant medicines come up to the forefront when people are ready for that next step in their journey. You see that with things like sea moss even, like what? Yes. Where did that come from? Suddenly sea moss is everywhere. To me, all of these things come to the forefront when society needs it. Yes. But it's funny how it's like the cure is always in your backyard. It's always been there. We're just now needing it. So suddenly it comes to the forefront and I believe works through us. Like certain people are certain stewards of certain foods and certain things that come to the forefront. Like for me, I felt like I've been a steward of bringing shaga to the forefront with getting it into places like Cafe Gratitude and having it on the menu there. So thousands, tens of thousands of people are trying drinks, smoothies they love, but it has these wild mushrooms from the Canadian forest or seeing stuff like Four Sigmatic, what they did is really popularizing it to the point where it's like, God, it's in like gas stations at this point and getting it to like people who would never drink it, right?
Yeah.
So you see this happening and you see now like there's certain people who are stewards of things like CMOS and bringing that to the forefront, or acai and getting acai berry smoothies and acai bowls out to the people. So people take their roles and do what they're called to in a way. And I feel like that's what it's felt like for me with Shaga, that it's been an honor and a privilege for me to be able to bring this thing that I fell so much in love with deep in the forest, where I never thought it was going to be trendy or popular. I just did it because I thought it was amazing that this thing grows off this tree for 30 years. And what the hell is this thing? It's not even like a mushroom at this point. It's like, is it an extremophile? What species is this? What is it? How is it doing this thing where my pineal glands open and suddenly I'm getting these downloads? Yes. How is this possible? And it's got all these minerals and enzymes and antioxidants. It blew my mind. All the history and lore around this food. It blew my mind. And I was so excited that it's like, it became a privilege that it's like Black Magic just got birthed out of that. Yeah. I didn't even try. I didn't try to go door knocking. I never knocked on a door of a grocery store or a restaurant. It's like people just wanted it suddenly. And it was like, okay, I guess I'll make this. And it's like, it's been amazing to see that happen and talk about the download and just kind of making space and just walking right into it. So I really do believe exactly what you brought up there is that things come to the forefront when they're most needed by people. And when you start seeing something become popularized, you got to wonder, what is it that it's in uniquely that food, or maybe it's a certain enzyme we need at this specific time in human history. Yes. A certain bioactive compound, or it's something that this food does spiritually to us that we need more than ever. And that's why it has come to the surface. So I'm fascinated by that idea. And I just think it's so special. And the 100th Monkey Effect kind of talks about that idea and that concept of, like, you know, when a certain group of people start using something or inventing something or unlocking a new way to do something, suddenly starts popping up all around the world at the exact same time. There's something that we're all uniquely connected in that way. And I think that's a beautiful idea.
It is. And stewardship is an amazing honor when you can be a steward of something that's emergent and great. Now, that is definitely Riz intensifying right there. Like, stewardship is powerful.
To 1,000 Riz.
Boom.
Level 9,000 Riz.
Yeah, 9,000 Riz. Well, and then you go, you kind of go from download ultimately to, I think, also intuition. And that's something that, you know, humanity, well, every individual loves their intuition. But when you start, as that gets cranked up as well, because we all understand downloads. And then, of course, there's intuition. But as one is ultimately through many practices, but also what you eat and how you, your expectation in life, your RIS level. I mean, to me, a life without intuition would be like a life without one of my senses. I don't want to think about losing any of my, you know, five senses, because I feel like I have six. I go, wow, you know, I literally do. And it's, to me, it's a fact, I guess you would say. I intuit my way through life.
Yeah.
You know, it's, and I think that's something all this helps to cultivate too, because to me, it's like, I see it as I don't have five senses. I have six.
Mm-hmm. I do, you know? Too.
Yeah. And yeah. And I don't know how else to put it other than that. It becomes that real. You're not guessing. You feel, you intuit, and that becomes like, and maybe that might be our greatest way of following the excitement of being available for downloads, of finding our stewardships. You know what I mean? It's like, that is like that is the key frequency right there. Well, I've had you forever and it's great. And so you're also doing, so as good time to begin wrapping up, you know? So you went over your products, you know, some of those, I would definitely tell people I've used most of them. I love them, you know? And one of the things about, you know, having your most, wisdom filled, you know, supplements is, you know, they're not all the same. And so definitely, you know, Black Magic Alchemy, it's premium stuff. It's not like mass produced like many, it's really, you know, powerful. And I just ask, like, you know, what makes yours, you know, special? Because it's not common. Like, not all supplements are the same. You know, what you get from Black Magic Alchemy is it's a step above, and that's what makes it worth it. And then when you see, like, the, you know, it's not cheap, it's not free, but you know what? I'm excited to spend the money.
yeah. I always try to create that, foster that feeling of people are excited. Cause like with anything, if you really found something amazing and it's done in a, usually done in an artisan way in a small batch, like
yes.
There's one skincare brand I get from Ojai, California, it's got these crazy extracts of herbs I've never even heard of. And they're, it's like one of the few things when I put it on my skin, it's like it actually helps with if I got too much sun the day before. I swear I put it on, it literally just removes the sunburn. And it's like my skin just goes back and it's glowing. And I'm thinking, what on God? And they put it in Myron by the glass. So I know that glass is yes. $5 a bottle or a glass jar. It's not a 25-cent plastic jar. Like they put it in good glass. Everything's thoughtfully said on the words on the label, the website. Like people have put their time and effort, the photography, the herbs are all organic. It's like I could tell there's so much magic. And it's like I buy it. It's probably the most expensive skincare stuff out there for like after sun care. But I'm like, damn, when I get it, it just works and I feel amazing. And when I spend the money, it feels like I didn't spend the money. That's the weird thing.
Yes.
When you find something you really like and you get it, it feels like you should feel like you didn't even spend money. That's my opinion about it. And I feel that with health food. I feel that when I go find a really great place that serves like a specific thing that they make that's so integrous, like the olive oil I get, for instance, from my one friend, it's the best. And when I get it, it's so raw and green and vibrant that when I have that olive oil, even though it's like $30 a bottle, when I use that on a salad or I cook with it, you could tell that was that olive oil. That is a big difference. So with anything, I want it to always be like with that, with Black Magic, is when someone buys a product, I want it to feel like they're almost not spending money because they can see and feel and taste through all their senses. When they read the descriptions, when they try the product and see the videos about it, and they hear the stories, that they're excited and they're like, wow, I'm really getting something that is a really rare opportunity. Because when people are buying the mushroom products that are on the market, 95% of them are grown in closed circuit labs. It's not grown in nature. And a lot of brands I felt very disingenuously show these forests, like, you know what I'm saying? They're showing forests with mushrooms growing up. That's not where it's grown. That's not the truth. And this is why I had to do the company, because I was like, I want to give people the experience that I feel when I'm out in the woods finding these mushrooms, where it's such a magical experience finding it. And I want to give them that taste as though they're there, and to be out there and feel that magic of being in the forest and the fresh air and the birds and the crispness of the air and the moss and the seeing it on the tree and the experience of finding it, because it's so rare. I want to imbue all that and then make it taste good. And we use all the herbs to create that flavor, like sarsaparilla and cherry tree bark and juniper. And all of it comes together in this delicious, like ancient root beer flavor. And it's in a glass bottle and the words are specifically chosen and the label's so, like, you're getting this like folklore legend of mysteries you've unlocked from Scotland. Like, it's like this crazy thing happening and the story about extracting it. And oh man, I want people to feel like they're getting teleported to a forest. And I want them to feel that, because I know that it's a rare experience to be out in the forest and not everyone has that access immediately available, nor do I, because I was even saying when we first started, I was in Los Angeles for a while. I wasn't getting out there and I was like, oh, I would just love some wild blueberries or something from nature and hear the story about it and get excited about taking this, you know, specialty. I'm such a sucker for like specialty limited edition things. I love that. So if I ever see that, like, you know, even today I was at a farmer's market and this guy makes these butter tarts, not even organic, but it's, like, it's this old British man. He's like 80 years old making these butter tarts and he sells some things from his farm and he just makes these butter tarts. And it's like, there's so much love in this butter tart. I can feel it when I'm eating it. It's like, it tastes so good. And it's like, I love that. So only like, he's only bringing up 50 of them, the whole farmer's market. And if you don't get there at a certain time, you don't get them. So
yeah.
I think those are the big jewels of life, right? That make it exciting, and finding like a diamond in the rough, like you find that experience. So that's what I try to do with Black Magic, is when people come, from the moment they see our brand on Instagram or on their web, on the website, the wording is all very specifically chosen to make a feeling become present of alchemy and mystery and magic. And then when they get the product, they unwrap it. We put a lot of effort in that.
Yeah.
And they see the bottle and the gold foil and they pour a shot and they're like, oh my God. And every batch is a little different because, you know, the spices are different at the times of year. Like, we're not trying to make everything taste uniformly the same. It's within a spectrum. Like, you're not going to get it and it's not going to taste like cherry cola. It's going to taste like a root beer, right? It's going to taste like a root beer every time. But it has a different spice profile that you taste as the season goes on, just like wine. I think wine got it right. Like the variety and the terroir and where it grows, and it's by the ocean. This was going to taste different than up in the mountain over here. And it's like, this 2014 is better than 2015. I think that's really awesome. So I don't want to standardize it in that way. I want to make it that same thing like wine does. And anyways, I try to really put that in the process, and water we use is all wild spring water. And I want them to feel like this is so special when they get it and they're excited. And what's crazy, man, is we have like 40 to 50% oscillating between those two numbers, percentage return order clients. So when people get it, one in two people are ordering again. And we have clients that I can see have been with us for 17, 18, 19, 30 orders. It's like people are in. I mean, I'm really frankly shocked. And I say that because I really just started this with like the intention that I just wanted to do it myself, go foraging and make something cool. Cause I like culinary. I like to make things. I wanted to be a chef originally. So I want to just make something that tastes amazing. Cause I think medicine should taste good. It shouldn't always have to taste bitter. Sometimes there's a place for that, but I want to make things that taste good. I want to enjoy a nice root beer float with chaga and 15 other crazy herbs, or I want to make my coffee taste good. I want to make these things benefit my life too. So when people are getting the product and they're getting all these feelings of like, oh my God, I'm excited to take it. Then they get their health results and they notice their skin glowing, or they feel more strength during flu season and people are getting sick and they're not getting it. And then they look at their hair and it's growing and it's just, they're like, what the hell? I look luscious and I feel stronger and I have more energy when I wake up in the morning. Like, all of those things are what I am putting all of my attention and love into creating for people. Every batch is with a lot of love. Like, we don't screw around. We're doing it with so much care and attention. And I just want to keep doing that. And if that means I can't serve a gigantic market, I can't be in every Whole Foods, I'm okay with that. I don't care to do that. I want to be, maybe we deal with only 10,000 clients a month. Maybe it's 1,000. I don't know. Whatever it ends up being is what we forage. And those people that get it though, I want them to feel like that was special. That was those butter tarts at the farmer's market. There's only 50 made and I'm lucky I got one. I want people to feel
yeah.
That's what I'm trying to do, man.
Oh, I love it. Yeah. And that's absolutely the way it should be. I mean, that's actually a beautiful thing. I mean, I'm speechless. I don't know how to, all I can say is, yeah, I can just say, yeah, whoa, yeah. Yeah. And so you do some coaching, and maybe I'll let you go in a sec. We can wrap it up, but I noticed that, you're doing some personal coaching. I didn't look deep into that, but, I did peruse it. And, what are you offering as you know, in personal coaching?
So I'm doing my website's forceofnature.life. And basically the idea there is, I think nature, as I've made this pretty prevalently clear in this podcast with you, is I think you agree too, is like, there's something powerful in nature. And when you go back to the roots of where we're all from, the forest and the deserts and the mountains and the beaches and of the world, like all of these beautiful places that exist that is from source directly. When you go back to that, everything seems to get solved, from the mental health issues that we might have when you're in nature. Forest bathing is proven with Japanese studies on this, how much it reduces cortisol and stress in your mind. And the feeling of being out in nature increases the negative ion absorption. So you're more calm, you're breathing deeper. Coming back to the foods we eat are more mineral dense, more antioxidant rich, more enzymatically potent. Going back to nature is something that we all could use more of, and that we can all benefit from. So in that being said, I think coming closer to nature is a very valuable aspect to make anyone healthier. So I wanted to give people more than just physical products, because I know there's lots of value in that, but there's also value in making adaptions to your life and integrating more of living as nature intended in your life and eating as nature intended. And that's not always easy to figure out. It took me a decade to decode this information about how to eat more clean, because as we know, it's rife with deception in the supplement world, in the natural product sphere. It's very hard to know exactly what you're getting is actually legit. So how do you know? And I spent a decade trying to figure this out and becoming friends with all these different health food entrepreneurs, from people who have olive oil companies, chocolate companies, supplement brands, water companies, deodorant companies, you name it, all the brands. And I spent time with a lot of these people and became their friends, and they're still my friends to this day. And I wanted to decode and learn this stuff and really go out there and spend my own money and try to figure this out and notice my results and do the tests. And also a lot of that's even just, how do you wake up in the morning and feel on this diet or that? And I wanted to make it simple for people and decode it. So the website, the intention there is to provide a lot of data and resources. So I'm doing a lot more content like podcasts, as well as doing streaming, where there's going to be populated on that website videos from YouTube and Rumble. And it's showing that content of things that are broken down for people so they know about, you know, what foods are faked in the world, like truffle oil, olive oil, balsamic vinegar, cheese, meat. Like, how do you know you're getting what you want? So I have videos talking about that. There's also videos talking about things like electromagnetic chaos and being cautious about all these devices that are around us all day. So I have the resources there, and I wanted to make it available for people that if they wanted to do one-on-one coaching, they have that access. And I don't have all the time in the world because I am running this company. I'm traveling a lot. So I don't take on many people with that side of it. But there are some people that have been with me. One of my clients has been with me for 3 years. And we do more than just that. It's health, but it's also self-help. It's also business. It's entrepreneurship. So he's an amazing. He's working with one of the top YouTubers on earth. I won't say the person's name because I don't want to ever like dox him, but he ended up closing and getting and working with every day one of the top five most viewed YouTubers on earth. And we work together to increase his vibration by doing things like going to the farm. He goes to the farm every day to get his meat and dairy and berries and fruits and vegetables. He gets spring water. I saw that shift for him. And getting him out into nature and traveling more. And it's like all these things opened up for him. So I do the one-on-one coaching, but there's something I think I'm offering here that I think is really unique, Craig. And it's my second option I have on the website for those who maybe wouldn't be able to afford the one-on-one because it is pricey. Because like I said, I can't just do it with everybody. I don't have much time. I offer another option though. The other option is what I call text coaching. And what it is people can actually take on this option where they can sign up for a week, 2 weeks, or a month. And every single day, they get basically, you know, when you do those calorie trackers and stuff, if you're going to the gym, you input all your food and you kind of get an idea of like, oh, how much calories did I eat today? And you know whether you're losing weight or gaining. Okay.
Yeah.
Imagine that, but not for calories, but for everything you consume, you now have, and not just what you consume, even the stuff you brush your teeth with, your hair care products, your soap, shampoo. You send a picture every single day for that week or 2 weeks, whatever you signed up for, and you get live feedback from me. Not from one of my helpers, right? I'm responding voice notes and texts to give you ideas of like, send me the ingredients so I could see and I let you know what ingredients there are you don't want or what is like a natural ingredient that's not really natural. And the same with going to restaurants. My clients are sending me pictures at the restaurant. What do I eat today? And I'm like, get that based on your goal of doing X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
And they're also getting photos from me of what I'm eating. So I'm not just telling you, I'm showing you what I ate that day. Here's what my breakfast was. Here's what my lunch was. Here's what toothpaste that I'm using. And this is from me spending God knows how much money at all these health food stores over the years trying to figure this out and spending time with these people to learn. So they're getting those voice notes and questions answered. So it's like you're getting that tracker, except it's a real human giving you those responses of like,
yeah,
don't do that, do this. And I think there's a lot of value in that. So I offer those two options because that's what's something I would want when I first started. And if I couldn't afford it right away, I would have done an option like the text coaching where I could ask someone who's been doing it for a damn while and say like, hey, I don't know, is this vitamin D actually good or not? And then I'm like, oh, did you know 99% of this vitamin D doesn't even get absorbed because they're not doing the right strain of vitamin D. It should be D3, not D2 because of this and that. And then, oh, how it's carried to the body. And then, oh, the dose is not even correct on the label. There's so much. So I wanted to codify it and I have so many free resources on YouTube and podcasts like this, but I wanted to make it for people who really wanted to go to that next level and step it up and get to this vital superhuman feeling. I want to make that accessible for them, whether they could afford something at a lower end or a high end. So that's what the website is. And there's going to be lots of more options out there, programs people can take for whatever they want to learn. But right now that's what I offer. And I'm going to keep going, man. This is my focus in Europe. That's what I'm doing. I'm pausing on Blackmagic for a little bit. I'm leaving it to the team. I'm going to be doing that 100% and going all out with the content curation and showing people that.
Oh, wow. Wow. The European trip sounds great. Well, I'll definitely be, you know, I'll definitely be watching and seeing how that evolves. That's going to be great. I look forward to the content that's coming from Europe. And I'll definitely send you a link to where is that quartz meditation capsule? Oh, if I can find it, because that's like, that's would be one of my first stops. I'm like, okay, I got to go right there, you know?
I'm going to send you a video when I go do it. I'm going to do it.
Oh, yes.
I'm touring. I'm driving. We're doing a road trip around the whole place.
Yes.
So I'm going in my way. I'm going to go there because that's what I was saying with the activities in life. You add some of that where it's like, yeah, I have some plans already. It's pretty filled up. But I'm like, this guy's telling me there's a quartz point. I'm adding that in. If this didn't come up, then I wouldn't know.
That's yes.
like that nudge from the universe right there, what you just did. So I'm going to go.
I'm yeah. gonna find it.
Watch, it's on some island. It's like 4-hour ferry. I'm like, oh shit, Craig, it's kind of far, bro. I'll make my best effort, bro. I'll go.
Yeah. Oh gosh. Follow the excitement. Follow the excitement. Yeah.
Right.
Well, this has been great. You know, thanks so much for hopping on and chatting for a while. Great, great catch up, you know, and I definitely have to get some Cosmic Creamer now. And because that just sounds too darn good. And I've been eyeing those, the Sachi Inchi. I've been looking at those and thought, okay, that kind of looks interesting. Well, you pushed me over the edge, so I'll have to go and try that too. Well, thank you so much. You're doing great stuff. I love getting it out there, and I'll send you a link to this when it's already done. We streamed it, so I'll send you a link, and you know, thanks so much. Be well. Follow the excitement.
Craig, my man. Thank you so much, buddy. Love you.
Thank
you. God bless the podcast. Keep going. This is great.
Oh, thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye, man.